Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Luke in chapter 10, and this morning what I want to do is preach the seven great commission truths, and we're going to find it here in Luke in chapter 10. I've been studying the chapter all week and got real excited about it early in the week and felt like, okay, maybe that, no doubt that is what God wants me to preach. Now, Luke in chapter 9, what Pastor Josh just read for the reading of the scriptures, Jesus sends out the 12 into Galilee, like John the Baptist, to go before him and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And you know, don't get all caught up on that. And I hear all kinds of things on the radio and different ministries and stuff. The gospel of the kingdom is found in Jesus. That's what you need to know. And the millennial kingdom is going to be a theocracy, and everything's going to be different, and Jesus is going to sit upon the throne of David, and we are going to be there in our resurrected bodies, the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm not preaching eschatology this morning, but you understand, for the church, man, it's all found in Jesus. It is. So the 12 are sent out in chapter 9 to Galilee. And then we come to chapter 10, and he sends out 70. But this is into Judea. So, and again, they are like John the Baptist. They're advanced people. They're going before the Lord and going from city and village and city and village, you know, one after the other, and they're preparing the way of the Lord. And some cities rejected Christ. Some were a little bit more open to the truth. And Jesus warns them. So here's what it is. They're off on a preaching mission, and they're going in groups of twos, and so there's 35 different groups. And they're preparing the way of the Lord. And they're preaching, and they're saying Jesus is coming. You say, now how does that apply to the church of Jesus Christ? Very simply put, number one, Jesus is coming. He is coming again. Verse 1 of chapter 10, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Now here we are in the 21st century, and we're at the end of the church age. We are. You can mark that down. I'll say that with authority. Everything that fits in Scripture, we are at the end. The church started in the first century, and we've gone the 2,000 years, and now we're in the 21st century, and we are right at the end. And here's what we need to tell people. Jesus is coming again. He's coming by way of the rapture. The trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first, and that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Bang! We're going to meet him in the presence, in the clouds. And the scripture says, comfort one another with these words. So that's the message for the church age. The rapture is going to take place at any time. Jesus is coming. And so therefore, we need to be urgent with the message. Truth number one. Seven Great Commission truths. Truth number one. Jesus is coming. Time is limited. The church age is coming to a climax. James in chapter 5 and verse 8, be patient and establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I know that some of you have heard that Jesus is coming for a good part of your adult life, which is a drop in the bucket, by the way, in time. He is coming very, very soon. Here's a thought. It's so simple, it's profound. We are right now, at this moment in time, closer to the rapture of the church than we have ever been in the history of the church. Trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be caught up home to heaven. I'm looking forward to it. By the way, I made a decision on Friday morning. Bob Goff is my friend. He was your friend. I saw some of the older men in the church weep as the hearse pulled out of the parking lot. Because the family of God is real. Here's my decision. There's been Corky. There's been Barney. There's been Steve. There's been Bud. I'm just naming some of the men. The ladies are no less important. Boy, I could get myself in trouble even when I'm trying to be serious. But I've decided no more funerals. Nobody else is going to die until the sound of the trumpet. All right, do you agree with me? You stay alive for a while, all right? No more funerals. No more. That piece of your heart goes every time. And it's just, you know, it's temporary. I preach the truth. I know it. Man, we're just around the corner. I think I told Melissa. I know I told the family. 1,000 years with the Lord is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. That means that the crucifixion and the resurrection was just 2 days ago, from heaven's perspective, from heaven's point of view. Now it's going to be just a moment in time, and we're all going to be together again. I know there's going to be a glad reunion, but I don't want to bury any more fundamental people. Let's hold off. All right, I'll get the contracts made up. We'll get an attorney to somehow make it legal. And if you decide to go ahead of time, I'm going to sue you, man. I'm going to sue you, all right? Truth number one, Jesus is coming. Our time is limited. Truth number two, verse 2, the harvest is great. Verse 2 says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. The harvest is great. Jesus said in the Gospel of John in chapter 4, say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white. They are now white, ready unto harvest. Don't you buy into the lie. Hey, don't you be lying to yourself and say, someday I'm going to get right with God. You know, that's for old men and old ladies and little children. Someday I'm going to get right with God. Don't play the part of the fool. Jesus said, now it is white unto harvest. Amen. Now. 7 billion people on this planet. 7 billion wandering souls. 38,696 in Chippewa County. So here's my latest survey. 7 independent Baptist churches stretching from Paradise all the way down to Drummond Island. 7 in Chippewa County. 7 independent Baptist churches. 4 other churches that I would say nominally preach the gospel. It's there. Out of those churches and 38,696 people, this morning, this Sunday morning, there will be 4 altar calls. 4. And in most of them, nobody will walk the aisle. For us to think we're doing a great job, for we to break our arm, patting ourselves on the back, saying we're reaching the world, we're lying to ourselves. The harvest truly is great. Truth number 3, there's not enough workers. The laborers are few. They're not everywhere. They need to be. Take your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Last Sunday morning sermon, Matthew chapter 25. Verses 27, 28, I'll just take these 2 verses out to emphasize this truth number 3, not enough workers. Remember last Sunday morning, the 2 points? Bob was here last Sunday morning. Welcome home. Look forward to hearing that. And then afterwards, well done, thou good and faithful servant at the Bema Seat. The words, welcome home. Salvation's free. By the way, there is a red carpet welcome for every sinner who'll come to Christ. Man, there's no secret word. There's no secret handshake or magic formula. It's your heart crying out to God. He'll save you. He'll save you. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And if you call upon him, you too can be born again. But there's not enough workers spreading the truth. Verse 27 of Matthew 25, thou oughtest therefore, this is the unfaithful servant, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with your usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. Here's a novel thought. God knows who the slackers are. God knows those that are his children, that spend all their time at the table, and never go out into the harvest and tell people about Jesus. Yesterday, I got to witness I'll be conservative because I wasn't counting, 4 people at the basketball tournament. And that's why I was there. Spiritually speaking, that was why I was there. I was there for our kids. But there were people that needed to hear the gospel. Yesterday, there was a man in our church. He told me this morning, man, I had the time of my life yesterday. I said, really, what'd you do? He said, I passed out tracts at Walmart. A whole bunch of them. He said, I was in the grocery department over there, and there's a man whistling. Yeah, I'm not a very good whistler. But you maybe got it already, this little light of mine. So he said, I asked him. He walked away, and I thought, what was that song? And they got back together and said, hey. I don't know how he introduced it, but he gave him a gospel track. Do you know that song you're singing? The old guy said, no, I don't. And so what an opportunity to witness. By the way, you can even hand out tracts in Walmart if you're discreet. You know, you can't just, they'll kick you out of there. Say, how do you know that, Pastor? What you got to do is you strike up conversations. That's cool. And then hand out a tract. It's that easy. Ticket to paradise. That's what he was handing out yesterday, all right? God will use you, man. God knows who the workers are. Hey, by the way, did you hand out a tract yesterday? How about last week? What about in the last month? The workers are few. We all pull a chair up to the table, and God gives us a full plate, and we feast. The harvest is great. Jesus is coming. The harvest is great. There aren't enough workers. Number 4, verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. The devil hates the gospel. He'll change it. He'll corrupt it. Galatians chapter 1. Would you turn there? Galatians in chapter 1. He'll dilute. He'll dilute the message. He'll divide the church. By the way, here's how it is. The gospel, salvation, is not a prize to win. Listen to me. It is not, eternal life is not a prize to win. It's not a medal to earn. It is a gift to open, to receive, and to open in your heart and call upon God. You'll not miss heaven. Because God says you choose between door number 1, door number 2, and door number 3. I'll take the door number 3. Open it up. You lose. You're going to hell. That's not how it works. There's one way to heaven. There aren't 3 doors. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. There isn't a magic word you've got to repeat. There's not some spiritual plateau you have to reach. All you need to do is be able to receive the gift. You got to open your heart. It can't be some prayer you prayed that you did not mean. It can't be some chant that you recite and it's not from your heart. You can't say, well, I want Jesus as my Savior and I want to take him as my Savior, and it isn't going to be. And if you had that in your heart and you called upon God and you repented of your sin, you're not going to get to heaven and find out you missed the magic word. That's not how it works. The gospel is easy. The gospel is simple and the gospel is pure. But I would say this. If you got saved and it was a Jesus that saved you plus something, you didn't get saved. That's not salvation. It wasn't Jesus plus good works. That's not salvation. That's what Paul said in the book of Galatians. It wasn't Jesus plus baptism. That's not salvation. It's Jesus alone. Galatians chapter 1, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel, twist it. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Paul said, man, if it was a religion of works, that's what I'd preach, because that's what everybody wants. That's what my persecutors want. But he said, that's not what it is. Verse 11 says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel, one way to heaven. Broad, straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life eternal. Jesus said, I am the door, not a door. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. If you go to heaven, it's because you have Jesus Christ. Period. Period. That's it. You need to be born again. If you're if you think something else is going you to heaven, you don't have salvation. You need Jesus. The devil hates the gospel. He changes it every chance he can. It's been changed so many times. There are so many perverted gospels in the world today. Religions of men, following men. That's a sham. Jesus condemned the religion of his day. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Real simple. Thief on the cross, what did he ever do for God? Nothing. He just repented of his sin. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's all God wants. Truths of the Great Commission, Jesus is coming. Number two, the harvest is great. Number three, there aren't enough workers. Number four, the devil hates the gospel. Number five, let's read verses 4-7. I'm going to read maybe 4-16 before that's all of the point. And the point is simply this. He says to his workers, his followers that go forth to preach, trust God. He's going to meet your every need. Trust God. Look at verse 4. Trust him for your needs. Back in Luke in chapter 10. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And in whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In other words, there's fellowship out there. There are people that are brethren. You're going to meet, you're going to knock on the door, and they're waiting for the truth, and they want to hear about Jesus. And if they'll receive the gospel message, man, that's good news. And your brethren, if they don't receive the gospel message, then you just take your coat and shake it off and wipe your shoes off, and you go to the next house. You can't make people get saved. It's not our job to make them get saved. It's our job to give them the opportunity to get saved. And many have more than one opportunity, and that of course is a wonderful thing. And there's a lot of truths here. Let me read on here, and I'm not going to be able to preach at all. Verse 7 says, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now what he's saying is, when you find an open door, stay there a while. The laborer is worthy of his hire. 1 Timothy in chapter 5 and verse 8, and you don't have time to turn there, I'll paraphrase. They that preach of the gospel are the live of the gospel. So when you got an open door, you stay there a while. You fellowship. You help people to grow. You help to grow them. You don't just get them saved and leave them. You stay at it. All right. Verse eight says, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. God, be content, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you, because Jesus is coming. Verse 10 says, but into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Sadly, many rejected Jesus. As a nation, Israel rejected him as the Messiah. Sadly, today, many reject Jesus. I find many waiting and wanting to hear the truth, and they get saved. I talked to a man this week, and I thought I had him. Man, I thought, he was listening to every word and seemed sincere, and I got to the end. He didn't want Christ. That does happen. Verse 12 says, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin and Zin and woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in thee, done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in thee, and those are Gentile cities, by the way, done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. They just need the opportunity. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And by the way, there are degrees of punishment in hell. And thou, Capernaum, I studied that city a little bit. The word means proud and arrogant. The word literally means town of comfort. That's America. At ease in Zion. It's a seaside city. Ocean breezes. City of comfort. Some of us are so comfortable, we don't even know spiritual things. That's why so many third world churches, persecuted churches, are on fire for God. And so many churches in America are in apathy. Some churches, some people in the pew, you couldn't shake them if you lit off a stick of dynamite at the altar. They just so stayed in their ways. Maybe there's some like that here this morning. You got your whole week planned out. You've left God out of all of it, or he easily gets kicked aside. You know what you're going to watch on TV this afternoon, Monday night. You know what you're going to do Tuesday morning. And man, you're living a life of in the lap of luxury. Say, oh, not me. Compared to most of the 7 billion people on this planet, yes, you are. In Capernaum. Verse 15, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. This is Jesus preaching this. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. It's actually pretty good serving God. You know, the power of God, there's nothing in the world like it. Nothing. When you see a life genuinely born again and changed, man, that's powerful. That's dunamis. That's the dunamis of the gospel. That dunamis is that Greek word, ye shall receive power, dunamis. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. That word dunamis is the same word we get dynamite from. The dynamite of the gospel is for the dynamite, the power of God is for soul winning, not for making money. The power of God is for soul winning, not getting things. And the 70, they're excited. So now they come back to Jesus and they're saying, man, God, now truth number one of the Great Commission. What the first Great Commission truth, Jesus is coming soon. The second, the harvest is great. Get yourself a vision. The third, there aren't enough workers. The fourth, the devil hates the gospel. The fifth truth, trust God in the ministry, in the battle. It's not a business. The ledger doesn't always work out. God doesn't measure things with the American dollar. Truth number six, God's power is great. And it says here in verse 18, or verse 17, let me read it again. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The devil's a defeated foe. Verse 19 says, behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. When we're in the will of God and in the center of God's will for our life, we are invincible. We're invincible in the real battles of life. And when things come our way, God wills it. I'm good with that. When things go bad in my life, first thing I got to look at is, man, am I walking with God? Am I real? Am I doing the very basic things that I need to be doing? Like, you know, like having a prayer closet and reading my Bible and witnessing and being faithful and loving God first and foremost. Are those things going on? Is there something else that's out of whack? But when you're in the center of God's will for your life, you're invincible. The seventh truth of the Great Commission. It's the last one. It's the greatest one. The disciples, the 70, came back and said, I could hear them. You know, I can imagine what it was like. You know what it's like to be part of a great victory. And everybody's got a war story. And can you imagine what the 70 were like? You know, and they come back, and who knows what they did. And they were rejoicing because even the devil couldn't stand up to the power of God. They'd never experienced, they saw Jesus do that, but they never had it themselves. And man, they were just, I'm sure they were just going 100 miles an hour. Even the demons can't stand before us. And Jesus said, I give you that power. Look what he says in verse 20. Greatest truth of all. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. That kind of power, that's not what it's about, fellas. Don't rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's the greatest Great Commission truth. the doctrine of forgiveness, the blood atonement. Psalm 69 says that the unrighteous, they're blotted out of the book of life, and their names will not be written with the righteous. There is the Lamb's book of life. Everyone that is born again, everyone that is forgiven, your name is recorded in the Lamb's book of life. And it'll never be untaken out of the book of life. The book of life is though are those that are alive right now on the planet Earth. They die without Christ, their name is crossed out. You get born again, your name's always going to be there because you're going to live forever because your name is recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus said, you don't need to rejoice in power over the devil or his demons. Here's what you need to rejoice over. Your names are written down. The blood atonement, forgiveness, it's found in Christ. I stand before you, still 58. I'll be 59 next month. I'm a sinner. You know how many years of those almost 59 years I have been a sinner? All 59. In fact, I sinned enough to do more than 59 years worth of sinning. I'm not a good man. I am a sinner, saved by grace. I'm forgiven because of Christ. Don was asking me this morning, he said, the thing that led him here, this is a teenager. Now, you've probably heard, maybe a soul winner shared the gospel with you this way. That's not how it's going to work, but it's a great way to picture it. He was asked the question, when you get to God's heaven and the angel asks you why he should let you in, what are you going to say? And he couldn't escape that thought as a teenager. He couldn't get away from it. You know what the answer is. And that's not how it's going to happen, by the way. Why should I let you in? Why should you let me in? The Son of God on the throne right over there. Jesus Christ. His righteousness. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I know what happened the moment that the life left Bob's body. I don't know what he saw. I don't know what heaven looks like other than how it's described in the Bible, but I know what happened. When he was ushered into the gate, there were a lot of people there waiting for him. Some that were brand new friends in the last years of his life that he made right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. He said, do you really think they were there waiting? I'm confident that they in heaven know what's going on this earth. Somebody's coming from back home. Somebody's coming from where I used to live. I know that person. You know they were there. But when he saw Jesus for the first time, and he heard the words. Now you got to know this. Bob was a sinner. Amen? We all know that, right? But he heard these words from his Savior. Welcome home. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Man, are you born again? If not, fields right now are right in the harvest.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.